My guest at this time is Randy Peterson. He spent 21 years as a police officer in the state of Illinois. He then moved to Texas and directed one of the largest police academies in the state and the country in Tarrant County, Texas. And he's now a senior researcher at Right on Crime. He has just written a column for FoxNews.com discussing what he sees as an urgent need to make sure police are properly trained for crisis situations like the high school shooting in Parkland, Florida, where we saw the school resource officer obviously not enter the school to confront the shooter. And Randy, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Greg.
Just quoting a little bit from this column that you wrote for FoxNews.com, this begs, you say, very real and serious questions when it comes to police reform. How can we better prepare police officers to serve and protect? And so you go on to talk about different reforms and how we may not really know whether the officers are ready for these things until the crisis actually emerges. And for most police officers, it may never actually happen. But you've done so much training. You've got experience as an officer. What's the best way to make sure, as best you can, that officers are ready for a situation like this?
Well, you know, the thrust of the article obviously was about the training, but we probably need to move that needle back a little bit to the hiring process, right? Mm-hmm. We can train people to fight. We can train them to be good in sports. We can train them for an event, but we don't know how they're going to perform until they actually do it. But what we can do is we can, during hiring and testing, we can have an idea of what we're looking for an officer to be able to do. Unfortunately, whenever we have an officer that, and I know the word cowardice has been thrown about a lot in a lot of articles and that, but when we have an article that maybe it's not a cowardly person, but someone who is unsure of themselves, unskilled, they haven't been trained up properly. Anytime you have something like that, we can have this situation where we shoot people that we don't want shot, or we don't shoot people that need to be shot. You know, if we go too far to either side, that's bad as well. But to go to the point where we have a police officer that is either incompetent in their physical skills, their defensive tactics skills, their shooting, all of those things, they're not going to have confidence. And a lack of confidence can get you to a point where an officer either fails to act or overreacts. It can, in a lot of ways, that can be worse than having an officer that's on the other end of the aggressive spectrum. That's not preferable either, by the way, but somewhere in the middle, we want a blend of these two qualities, where a person is not overly excitable, not easily offended, but at the same time, very confident and very capable. And the capable part can come with training, but a lot of those other attributes have to come through hiring. We have to seek out those high-quality people for the job.
And you talk about some of those qualities and others in the column. You say a police officer must be compassionate, capable of thinking critically, as you mentioned, not easily offended or excited, physically and mentally fit, and capable of using restraint or force, including deadly force, if needed. Even in active shooter drills and that sort of thing, how much can you guarantee that this person is going to have these skills when they matter most, when it's almost impossible to recreate the situations?
Right. A lot of the training that we do now focuses on that critical thinking and a lot of role play. And you'd be surprised at how realistic your role players, if you have good ones, some of the technologies that we have can really recreate a situation. And you can get in the training academy or in-service training, you can get a real picture for how someone's going to respond. Now, it's not exactly the same as someone firing live bullets at you. That's a given. But you can put them under pressure where the stress levels will, you know, give them that adrenaline dump, make them scared, make them nervous, make them physically exhausted. All of the things right up to that point where the real situation is going to be just a little bit different. So we have the ability in training people to do that. The problem becomes whether or not we're willing to weed out people who can't. You know, and in a lot of situations, I think that we don't. We don't weed out the people that we recognize and say, I think this person is not going to be able to do this. And sometimes they just get through. And like I said, you know, most officers, you know, shooting, police shootings are rare. Active shooters like this are even more rare. Most officers go their entire career without ever having to fire their weapon at somebody. But the problem is when, so we don't ever know, even after they're retired, how they would have responded. But the problem when you have somebody who is in that category, but then they meet up with just the right situation, it's catastrophic.
Randy, you mentioned that it would appear that maybe this isn't as big of a priority as it ought to be in police departments around the country. What do you know of any data on that front in terms of whether police departments are approving people to be on the job who haven't necessarily exhibited the things we've been talking about, and how many are very strict about making sure that they do?
I don't have data on that available, so I wouldn't be able to speak to specifics on that. However, I think that what we see in the country is that we have a lot of times one of the issues can be organized labor, right? The police unions. Now, the police unions are not necessarily representative of the thoughts of police officers, so we shouldn't equate the two. You know, the union is a union. They have their thing, and police officers are police officers. A lot of times, though, they're part of a union. The union can make it very difficult in a lot of states to terminate an officer that is either, you know, either has a lot of complaints filed against them or, you know, is basically incompetent. A lot of times they can end up getting their jobs back. So it's not that police agencies themselves sometimes are hesitant to get rid of them. It's that sometimes they fire them and they come right back on the job.
We're talking with Randy Peterson, 21 years as a police officer in Illinois, directed one of the largest police academies in Texas and the nation. He's now a senior researcher at Right on Crime. And Randy, I want to get your thoughts on a couple of hot button issues that directly impact what we're talking about here, and especially this week as we're seeing the national school walkout and so forth. Let's take them one at a time. First of all, uniformed or perhaps not uniformed, but anyway, police officers, security guards who are armed in our schools. A lot of people think that would be a significant deterrent. You have some on the left who don't like that because they don't like weapons at all in the school. You got some on the right who think that would make that person a sitting duck. If the shooter could take out that person, then nobody has a gun again. So what's your opinion on more armed security in the schools?
Well, having armed security or armed police officers in the schools, we have some of that today, right, in various school districts throughout the country. We already have that. Unfortunately, we had that in Parkland, and it didn't work out so well. You still have to fall back then to the quality of the officer and the ability of the officer and the skills of the officer that is on the scene. But there's another component to that, and that's response time. You know, a police officer that's on a sprawling campus still may have to run all the way across the campus to get to it, which, you know, may take only a matter of a minute or two, but that's a minute or two that we have active shooting going on. And then by the time the officer gets there, they may be winded, and that changes the dynamics of being able to shoot and fight skillfully, you know, when you're winded and fatigued by the time you get there. So I always think that it's a fine idea to have police officers closer than farther away, and they can't be any closer than being on the campus, but there's still a little bit of a logistics problem by just having one officer on a school campus. Now, is it practical to have more than one? I don't know that that's the answer either. You know, again, these, you know, we hear about these in the news, but they're not exactly that common.
The next topic, which I'm sure you could guess was coming, was the idea of arming teachers, at least the ones who are proficient in using a firearm and who want to have the option to carry. Given what we just talked about and the qualities needed for an officer in this situation, what do you make of that idea?
Well, we don't take an official position on it with TPPF or Right on Crime, but as a police officer, I was one of the instructors for active shooter training for my agency and then at the police academy as well. And one of the most important things that we learned from the Columbine shooting is that the rapid engagement of the suspect is paramount, right? The sooner we can get to them and engage, even if we aren't successful in neutralizing the suspect, by engaging them, you contain that person to a smaller area where they can do less killing. In Columbine, for example, one of the parts that happened there that we don't hear that much about is that there was a school resource officer on scene, and he did engage with at least one of the shooters there almost immediately. And they attribute his actions, even though he wasn't successful in hitting them, but just that engagement contained them to a specific area then of the school. Now, granted, there was people that were killed there after that, but if they had had free time to roam the campus, without being engaged, we don't know how many more they would have killed, how many bombs they would have detonated. They had a lot more plans than that. So with that in mind, this immediate intercept of a shooter, having administrators and or teachers that are armed would be keeping in line with the doctrine of active shooter training, right? Because you're going to have people with guns on scene faster and to intercept that person. Now, does that mean that they would be trained the same way as a police officer, where they would, move to the sound of the guns, or where they would just, kind of form up defensively of their own classroom? That's something that can be discussed. But it's that idea of arming personnel in the school is not outside the doctrine of active shooter training.
Randy, a difficult topic, and your expertise is greatly appreciated as the debate continues. Thank you very much for being with us.
Craig, thank you so much.
Randy Peterson spent 21 years as a police officer in the state of Illinois. He then moved to Texas and directed one of the largest police academies in the state. He's now a senior researcher at Right on Crime. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.